Well, it wouldn't be a Sunday if we didn't have a little preaching, right? So I want to share a couple of things as we go on. I love the fact that, God has had a lot of capital campaigns through the scriptures and throughout all the churches in America. This is our very, very first one that we've ever had in our church, and I think it's really great to be able to have the facilities of the other building, this building, the properties and all that, and just only owe $2.7 million on it, about $12 million worth of stuff, is really pretty an awesome thing. And the reason we're trying to do this, as I said, is because we've got a ministry out there. The 2020 vision, a faith-filled stewardship adventure, a faith-filled stewardship adventure. We're stewards for the Lord. Why are we doing that? Pastor Tom said it. Really the number one and really the only reason: God has called, He's asked us to do more. God has asked us to do more. As Tom said, there's thousands and thousands of people who have come through our doors and have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, saved, baptized, and their lives have been radically changed. We need to do that more. We need to do more missions. We need to do more in establishing churches and establishing pastors. We want to send out more and more pastors to the world at large. We have a lot more to do. And if you'd please stand, I want to read the key scripture we're going to go through this morning. Stand with us together as we read Luke 12:48. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Please be seated. The more. I couldn't help, you know, I've kind of taken a hiatus for this week from our REACH series, but I can't help but think that this is part of that aspect of reaching for more. Reaching for more. God has called us to do this. That's why we're doing it. God has called us to do this. I love this text we're going to study this morning. It's in red letter, if you have a red letter type Bible, meaning that it's spoken by Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, for everyone, that would be all, right? Everyone to whom much or a lot of blessing has been given, a lot of blessing has been given, not earned. It's not what you've done. Hey, look what I've done such great things with my life. You got to remember that God gave you the life to do the great things with. Then he gave you the opportunities that came by so you could take advantage of those opportunities. Then he gave you the motivation, the wherewithal, the desire, the drive, the giftings and the innate abilities that are inside of you. God fashioned you for all that. You got to realize that everything you have is but a gift from God. And God gave it to you. God gave it to you. He gave you your life. He gave you your livelihood. He gave you your functionality and your abilities and your mind and the wisdom and your work ethic. And he gave you all of that so you could do something. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much or a lot will be required. That word required, compulsory, essential, demanded, obligatory, expected. To whom much has been given, much of the blessing of the Lord has been given. And I'll tell you, in the United States, we've been given a lot. No matter what your station is, where you're thinking, you know, I'm just kind of middle class, or I'm, you know, just starting out, or down at the end, but we don't have a lot. You have a lot more than the rest of the world has. We've been blessed to have lived and been raised in the United States of America. And to whom a lot has been given, a lot of blessings of God has been given, a lot will be expected or demanded of them. Well, guys, I don't want to use, that's kind of a tough word. I didn't say it. God did. Jesus did. I'm going to demand this from you. But God, you're a nice God. You ask, right? I'm asking in a demanding sort of way. For me, I've had that verse in my mind forever. To whom much is given, much is required. I've said that about myself. Somebody, I just know it. And I always just stop there. I really, if you were to quote it, I would only quote the first half. But it was amazing to me as I went through the study and realized there's something else in addition here. And additionally, to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask, say with me, the more. They'll ask the more. That word committed, to whom much has been committed, is a Greek word that means to place alongside, to present truth, to deposit as a trust or for protection. It means to give or provide for with the implication of placing something in front of a person. You see, what God is also saying here, to whom much has been committed, to whom much I've placed alongside, to whom much I've given. You see, He's placed alongside of us. He's given us all that we need. He's given us the abilities. He's given us the determination. He's given us the wherewithal. He's placed it alongside of us. God has given it to us. And He said, what I've given to you, these abilities, this drive, this desire, this unction, this passion. He said, of him they will ask the more. More. I love this word, the more. I like to put the in front of it. They will ask the more. The more. Parissos is the Greek word. Parissos. It means beyond. It means superabundant in quantity or superior in quality. It means excessive. It means preeminence. And preeminence, in the dictionary, says the fact of surpassing all others or superiority. The more that is asked of you is not just a little as a Christian. Please understand this. What God is asking you to do with your life, the more that He's asking you to do with your life is not just a little bit. This word is a huge word. But He says, but with all that, I'll give you all the wherewithal. I'll give you all that you need. I'm just asking, will you go the more for me? Will you go the more for me, Christian? Will you dedicate your life more for me? Will you grow more for me? Will you give more for me? Will you... more. More. I was... not just a little bit, but an abundantly more. You see, the capacity you have to do more, the capacity you have to do more is amazing. And God is calling it out of you. He's calling out of you the more. Whom God has blessed with much, He is going to ask to do more. That word, parissos, parissos, the accent is on the last word, the last syllable, is also another powerful verse in Scripture. That same word. In Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him, this is speaking of God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, it's that same Greek word, speaking of God, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the same exceedingly abundantly that God is going to do for us is the same that He asks us to do for Him. What? I'm not God. I can't do all that you can do. Oh, but you forgot that I live inside of you. And the greatest joy of his life is have you do what he's called you to do when you think you can't do it. Oh, I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't be that. I can't preach that. I can't stand in front of people and do that. I can't. Oh, he's called you to do the more. He's called you to do the more. God asks us to do more than he gives us the more to do it with. God asks us to do more than he gives us the more to do it with. The more. Don't just do what you think you can do. Do beyond what you think you can do. And how do you do that? You do that by exercising the thing he's given to each and every one of us. It's called faith. All of a sudden, this wimpy God you don't think can do much, all of a sudden you realize he's doing a lot and he's doing it through my hands. He's doing it through my mouth. He's doing it through my legs. I'm starting to realize I can do more. I can be more. I can do more. Because God has called me to that. And Christian, he's called everyone. If God asks you to do more, he will enable you to do more. If God asks you to give more, share more, lead more, help more, do more, grow more, whatever, he will enable you to give more, share more, lead more, help more, do more, grow more. I just want to challenge you today. There's more that God has for you. There's more that God has for you. Have you tapped it? Have you tapped it? We have an amazing God who lives in us and wants to do amazing things through us. But God also works on our faith. Will we take a step of faith to give more, share more, lead more, help more, do more, grow more? To do so, you'll have to trust God more. Here's my key principle here. God looks for our move of faith first before he gives us the more. I pray you catch the heart of this message, because this isn't just about giving. This is about living. This is about the life God has called you to live. We so dumb it down. Just want to get by. Just want to go to heaven someday. What? God wants to use you to do more so you can transform this world and cause it to be the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come! How is it coming? God will do something. No, God will use you in the coming of his kingdom, because you're speaking into the kingdom that's out there and changing the culture and the climate of this kingdom to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We always think, God, just do it all. He uses people all the way through the scripture. I love this when I think about God looks for our move of faith first before he gives us the more. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. It was our reading on Monday. So reading on Monday. I loved our worship leader this morning. He did a great job. And he talked about it. Talked about the idea of that drought that Elijah was talking about. He called there to be a drought. He prophesied it. It's during that time. It says this in verse 8. It's something that really lit off the page to me. This concept of more. And how does it work? Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Zarephath. An interesting word in the Bible. It's a place. But if you look it up, it says place of refinement. A place of refinement. Hold on to that thought. Continuing in our scripture here, he says, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. There's this drought going on. This drought has started. It's not raining. So we heard about the end of it when he sends the rain at the very, very end when it comes over. And he looks on the seventh time, he sees this cloud as like a man's hand. All of a sudden this gusher happens. But it's been years that it hasn't rained. So there's a drought going on. And he said, so I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, ma'am, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. If I were her, I would have said, who the heck are you? It wasn't like it back then. They had a lot of hospitality. They loved helping other people. It's what they did to strangers. Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. All right. And as she was going to get it, going to go get him a cup, want to serve this guy, help him out. He called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. I don't want to impose, but could you do more for me here? So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. It's our last meal. We have nothing else. There's a drought and there is no crops. I don't have any more flour. I don't have any more oil. It's the very end of it. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. I'll get you a drink on the way. You see, things are desperate. This lady, this widow, she's desperate. She's desperate. She's living in Zarephath, a place of refinement. You see, things are desperate, but it's in the desperate place that God works on refining your life. It's in that desperate, drought, parched land, time, worry. How can it happen? How can it do it? That God refines you. God does His greatest work there. It's the desperate times in Zarephath that God grows you. That God does miracles. He goes on to say in verse 13, then Elijah said to her, do not fear, madam. Go and do as you have said. But, it gets worse. But, make me a small cake from it first. And then bring it to me. And afterward, after I've eaten, after I've got my fill here, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Wow, Elijah, you have a lot of nerve. That's not enough. You're a stranger coming in. Give me a drink. We don't even have much water, but hey, yeah, I'll get you a drink. Hey, can you give me a little bit of bread? I'm going to eat my very last bit. We're going to eat our last bit and we're going to die. Hey, go ahead and do that. But I'll tell you what, could I have some first? Make me a good portion first and then you guys eat less than that. You guys eat less than that for your last meal and then die. The nerve of this guy. Notice the first. I have nothing. I have very little. And this guy wants it. This guy, I think Elijah is probably a type of Christ. Type of God. What does he want from you? In the midst of what I have nothing. Oh, give to me first. Give to me first and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. But then And he says this, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry. But I only have a drop and I only have a handful. How could that be?" Watch, a miracle. "Until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Wow. What do you want? Then give it away. What do you want? Then give it away. Do you understand? We get so caught in the details of life and this, what's going on, or finances, or a life, or a relationship. We get so caught, and God is doing so much more than that. He's trying to grow us, train us, mentor us, develop us. But we only see the little details here, and only got a little, I only got a little. But there's a principle in God. Because if God's calling you and asking for the more, how can I give you more when I don't? Oh, give to me first. God's blessing was to come. The more was coming, but she had to exercise her faith to believe for the more first. Before the more was there. That's what faith is. If you go, "Well, I guess God's calling me to do this, so I got it right here, so I'm going to do that." Okay, that's not faith. When you're going, "I don't know, I'm just going to have to believe for it, I'm going to have to pray for it, I'm going to have to fast for it, I'm going to step out in it and believe that, okay, God's calling me, that I'm going to do that, I'm going to say that, I'm going to be that, I'm going to start off on this walk, this faith-filled stewardship adventure. But it's not just a financial one, it's a life one. Where I'm a steward of His resources, of everything that He's given me, of my mind, my will, my intellect. I give to Him so that the more can happen. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which He spoke by Elijah. What are you doing first to show God, "I believe"? What are we doing first to show God, "I believe"? In anything, your faith takes a step first. It takes action, expecting God to move. And then the more comes. Maybe not immediately. Maybe not in the way you expected, the way you wanted, but more will come. Maybe it's more character that's produced. Maybe it's more belief. It's a personal story. When Carrie and I made our pledge to the Capital campaign, just being honest, I did what I thought was good with stretching. It stretched us. But then God said, "More." So I did more. I did more. And then He said, "Can't you believe for more than that?" I guess so. Is this really God? So I did more. We did more. And He said, "Can't you believe?" Oh, no, I said, "Can't you believe for more than that?" So I did more. Then He said, listen to these words. "Do you want to believe me for more? Do you want to believe me for more?" What do you want? Oh, man. Wow. I really honestly had to think about that. Did I want to believe for more, or was it enough? I don't know. I think enough gets in the way of more, doesn't it? When God's dealing with us, when God's refining us, when it seems like we have little, yet God is refining us in the moment, if we'll first believe and do. Finally, I said, okay, I will believe for more and upped it more. And he has kept the jar of oil and the flour bin supplied. It's a little scary at times. Okay. Not going to lie. A little scary at times. A little scary. And you know the nerve of that guy? He's asking me for more. Are you never satisfied? He asked me, are you? He's asking me for more, and I have it in my heart. We have it in our heart. To double our pledge again if it's needed at the end of the campaign. I told the Lord, what we're giving now, all of our pledge, everything which is at the edge, at the end, I will double it somehow. If that's what's needed. So yes, Lord. I will do more. No, no, you know, please. Thank you, though. I want to see a miracle happen. I want to see God do something miraculous. I want to see Him use me as a part. I just thank you, God, for all that you have done through us here at Living Faith Fellowship. We've been blessed to be in your hands, to be your hands extended. We've seen so many people's lives saved and seen them baptized, seen them filled with the Holy Spirit. We've seen people grow in leaps and bounds in their faith and in their relationship with you. We've helped people who have gone on to bless many churches around the world, and we're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful, Lord. And we know when God expects more from us, then He blesses us with more. And my ask this morning is, will you be a part of the more that God wants to do here? We got more lives to change. Will you let Him stretch and refine your faith? Will you join us in this faith-filled stewardship adventure? As I bring this to a close, I want to do a video here. Some great, great friends of mine. Please listen.
Living Faith completely changed our life. Pastor Phil and the people and the teaching. I can't imagine going anywhere else. I don't know why the church isn't filled with thousands of people. It's a wonderful place.
My name is Nuri Nimmer, and this is my wife, Robin. We've been attending Living Faith Fellowship for quite a number of years now.
So I grew up Lutheran. I went to church, but I didn't have a relationship with God.
And I grew up in a family. We attended a Protestant church. I stepped further and further away and didn't have any sort of relationship with the Lord.
So we were actually going through a really, really, really tough spot in our life at that time. My dad came out to try to help us. So he had attended Living Faith actually way before we did. He thought if he could reach out to the pastor there, then maybe he could come and talk to us. So I wasn't thinking anything was going to come out of it at all. And he came over and talked with us. We ended up giving our life to Jesus in our living room.
That was amazing.
Super amazing. I mean, from where we were.
at that point in my life, I thought, I don't have a problem. I'm a good person. What's the concern about?
You know, alcoholism, it just gets worse. He wasn't functioning. You know, the lying and the deceit, and it affects everything. And when Pastor Phil came over, he shared his own story. And for me, that really made me connect with him, and it made it so that I could let him into my world. I always thought when you go to church, you had to have it all together. And we absolutely did not have it all together. So for the pastor of the church to know the worst of us was just really cool.
As far as my addiction was concerned, things got worse. I just wasn't interested in what anyone else had to say.
Things were really bad. Like, he had moved out for a month, and, you know, I wasn't ready for a divorce, but I was done.
Yeah, the enemy came in so quickly to absolutely defeat me. Really had his grip on me. Once I think cried out to the Lord that I need help, that he grabbed me, and he's like, okay, Mary, you are at your bottom. You're crying out for me. Here I am. Let's do this. Swinging his sword for my life, that he's like, I gotcha.
That was the last time that you drank, and that was 12 and a half years ago.
And it's not by my doing. It's by the Lord's doing. Pastor Phil had such an interest in our success and us getting founded.
You know, we took Carpenter Series. We were water baptized together. And
it was amazing.
Different, yeah.
I really felt I had a new heart and a new life. Any human being's life is worth investing in. The church has made such an impact in my life, my family's life, that wouldn't have been possible had the resources had not been there in the past to allow those individuals the time to come and minister in our lives.
I think about all the people that came before us, that if they wouldn't have given, the resources wouldn't have been there to help us. I feel like there aren't strong enough words to really describe how grateful we are. We are so grateful for Living Faith. I don't think God's going to send somebody with $2.8 million to donate to the church. It's going to take everybody to do that. So everybody's invested. I really believe that it's going to happen. We're trying to take God out of the box and believe for big things. I feel like we're the poster child of why to give to Living Faith. It changes lives. It's changed our generational line.
We're Nuri and Robin Nimmer.
And we are part of Living Faith's legacy.
We're celebrating our 13th year anniversary this Wednesday at Gambino's at noon. Every 6 months we celebrate what God has done. We've been doing it we did it yearly, then we said let's do it every 6 months, and I look back and I see lives changed. That's why I want to do more. I want to see more lives changed. I want more people to hear the good news, to get unstuck from where they're stuck, to have people care for them and love on them and show them there's a way, that God's got something great for you. Now look at their kids, man, and they're awesome. God's got a call on those kids' lives too. And I feel privileged that I get to be a part of their lives. Thank you. You see, we want to get rid of this so we can do more of that for the kingdom of God. Take God out of the box and see what He can do in your life. What is God challenging you to do today so that more can be done tomorrow? We're going to end with the song and a close, but as we do, let me give a couple of instructions. The pew rocks in front of you, there's commitment or pledge cards, if you will. There's a prospectus as well, talks about more detail of what we're doing, why we're doing it in the pew racks. If you've not yet joined us in our faith-filled stewardship adventure, I ask that you would prayerfully consider what God might want you to do. What more might He want you to do? Ask God what He wants you to do for this campaign that He called us to. It will take, let me say it again, it will take every one of us to get there. To think, I don't need to do anything, it's okay. We won't get there. It will take all of us in order to get there. Please, do your part. What God's asking you to do, take it to prayer. Ask Him for the more. Please fill out a commitment, the commitment card if you haven't already. Please fill it out, put it in the offering receptacles, or give it to Pastor Tom or at the desk on the back, but probably the offering receptacles are Pastor Tom. And please prayerfully consider. Don't just leave it. There's more work to be done. There's more of the kingdom we need to announce. There's more lives that need to be changed. And if you've already made a commitment, could you evaluate God's blessing in your life right now? And see if He wants to challenge you to do more. If He wants you to, and you take a step, He'll provide. Thank you, church, for loving God. Thank you for loving us, your pastors, and allowing us to be your pastors. Thank you for believing in the vision. Thank you for joining in this faith-filled stewardship adventure. God bless you. And let's do more. Amen.